We bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. We can't say it so often, we say it sincerely. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. There is a line in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. You're very welcome to do so. Years ago, I saw a bulletin article from Taylor McKenzie, the preacher at the 61st Street Church of Christ here in San Diego. Now, I was looking at that list. He titled his bulletin heading, you know, "Some Gifts That All of Us Can Give All Year Long." And I thought, well, those would make some good New Year's resolutions. So I decided to take this and kind of copy it for you. And he didn't really give me a lot of comments to go on, so I had to add my own to his 10 major points. So I almost wanted to change it, you know, 10 Bible verses to live by, but I know there's more than 10 to live by, we'll just take a look at these. Brother McKenzie, in his list, sometimes he made just a sentence comment, but he put a verse by each one. So that's what we'll use for our lesson this morning. I also saw in the newspaper, in the comics, about New Year's. These two men are talking. The first one asks the other guy, makes a statement, says, and he's eating a bag of chips. Says, "I thought you made a resolution to go on a diet." And here's his response. "I did. But you can't start a diet on New Year's Day. Everyone snacks during the parades and games. It always takes a few weeks to finish off the holiday goodies and leftovers. And then comes the Super Bowl, then Valentine's Day, and Easter. I never start my New Year's resolutions till after Cinco de Mayo." So, that's not a good resolution, but that's one somebody makes. In the text that was read to us, Joshua has led his people into the promised land. And now the people make a resolution. Joshua has asked them a question. What or whose God will you follow? And in verse 16, they made this resolution or this responsive statement. "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods." So when you make a resolution or a statement like that, it means that you've come to a decision. I put that in your notes, just a short definition. It means to set a goal. You're saying, "This is what I'm going to do. This is my resolve, my commitment. This is my stated aim or purpose. This is my determination." This is my formal statement of intent. But this is my expectation for me starting right now. This is the fixed outcome that I want in my life. Make a resolution. I'm going to serve the Lord. Far be it from me to serve other gods, is what they said. I know people make resolutions. Of course, some are forgotten as soon as they're made. Sometimes we're really ready for a change and resolutions stick. Of course, some for a few months, for a year, some for a lifetime. But in our lesson today, as you can see in your notes and from Brother McKenzie's comments, here are 10 gifts or resolutions that all of us can give. You look at every one of these, and all of them are within the realm of possibility. All of these gifts provide us an opportunity to give to others, to change our attitude, our outlook on life. They point us to a particular course of action. So let's note each of these in turn. Number one, keep a promise. The verse that he used was in Matthew 5, verse 37. It says, "Let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these comes of evil." The message is, follow through on what you say you're going to do. We've heard expression from our youth, make good on your word. It's a phrase, your word is your bond. And that's to still hold true today. I remember old timers always say, well, we used to just shake hands on it. And that was good enough, but now you better get it in writing. It means that we should not have to make a promise and then seal it with the phrase, and you've heard this in your lifetime too, you know, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Why is it always a stack? Isn't one good enough? Or really, why even have to swear on a Bible? Isn't your word your bond? Shouldn't you always make good on what you say? Shouldn't you fulfill your promise? That's a resolution that all of us can make. And that should be part of our life. If I tell you that I'm going to do something, that's what I need to give all the effort I can to do that. It means you can be counted upon. Keep a promise. Do what you said you would do. That's a good resolution. It's biblical. Number two, let someone have the last word. Let someone have the last word. The verse he used was James chapter 1, verse 19. He said, James says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Brother McKenzie's made it just a single comment, develop the skill of listening. Of course, it seemed like, especially in my life, I'll make it personal, I'm exhorted, you need to listen. Or someone says to me, or asks me a question, are you listening? Someone may say to me, Brian, you've heard my words, but you didn't listen to what I said. You need to let someone have the last word. But in the verse that he's used with that phrase, let someone have the last word, the context is to listen to the word of God. When the first opening phrase is, be quick to hear, the context is that we ought to be anxious to hear God's word. Be quick to hear. In other words, I want to know, what does God say about this matter? What is God's information about this subject? I want to be quick to hear what God says. And then the next phrase is, that James writes, is slow to speak. The context is, be slow to speak back. Be slow to show displeasure at the teaching that God is giving. So I want to be, number one, quick to hear what God has to say. Slow to speak back at God for what He's saying to me. Because sometimes I may not like what the message is. I may not like what the verse is telling me. I may have to make a change in my life. I don't want to make a change. Oh, wait a minute. I want to be quick to hear what God says. Be slow to speak or to speak back at God. And then the third phrase, slow to wrath. Meaning don't be hasty in being angry at God's word when He tells you the truth. Be slow to wrath. So the context is, when Brother McKenzie says, let someone have the last word, the context is with the verse that he's giving, in listening to God. God, what do you want? What do you have to say to me in your word? I want to be quick to hear. Slow to speak back at. Slow to wrath. I don't like what you said. Oh. Because God's telling us the truth. We need to develop a skill. When God's word is preached or read, we need to let God's word have the last say. That's the context of let someone have the last word. Number three, and three and four kind of go together. Number three is listen to a child. Number four is listen to an adult. So when listen to a child comes, as you know, the Lord does. In Matthew 18, verse 5, it says, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me." Wow. Listen to a child. In Mark 10, verse 16, Jesus took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Ah, that's right. You know, when our grandsons visit, or we visit them, they're typically among the first at the door, whether we're at their house or they're at our house. And there might be something in their hand. It might be a school project or something they've received. And they're very quick to start talking and wanting to tell us what they have in their hand. And the first thing we want to do as grandparents is we want to get down and say, "Tell me about it. I want to hear what you have to say." We need to listen to our children. We greet them with hugs. Tell me all about it. Along with this, take time to greet the youngsters in our congregation. Take time to do that. Listen to them. Learn their names. When you see Eli and Evie, stop and say hello. Our two grandsons are here. Stop and say, if you don't know their names, ask them. What are their names? Now, Liam and Wiley. Luke. Take time. That's a resolution. Listen to a child. We get busy with our adult conversations when the amen prayer is said. But the resolution is, and again, it's within our possibility, and we have the opportunity. Stop and listen to a child. Number four is listen to an adult. Brother McKenzie said, "You may learn something." I don't think that's meant as an insult. I think it's meant to say, listen to a teacher. Because here's the verse that he used. It's in Acts 10, verse 33. And the story is the meeting of the Apostle Peter at the household of Cornelius. And when Peter comes to the household of Cornelius, in Acts 10, verse 33, Cornelius says, "Immediately therefore I," meaning Cornelius, "sent to you, Simon Peter, and you have done well in that you've come to my house. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear the things that are commanded you of God." That's the verse that was used with this. Listen to an adult. It's a similar situation that we have in our worship assembly. You know, I've come. You've come. And we're all here to hear a message from God's Word. At least that's one element of our worship time together. We're here to learn. I have the task in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, of preach the word. And we're all here to hear the things that are commanded of God. We have our Bible classes, and the one who stands in the front has made preparation into delivering a lesson, the content being based on God's word. And when you assemble, we've come together to listen to an adult. Hey, that's a good resolution. Take part in that. Make that your resolution to be in attendance when God's word is taught. As Cornelius said, we're all here, Peter, to hear the things that God has commanded you. I want to know what God says in his word. So listen to a child. Listen to an adult. Number five is let someone in line in front of you. Brother McKenzie said it doesn't hurt to be kind. Really? You want me to be kind? I'm in a hurry. I'm in the grocery line. You know, I quickly, you know, when I go, I scan which line is the shortest. I look at that one, and I see someone coming with a cart. Oh, man, I got to look quick before they get there. Before they find the shortest line before I do. But I was in line, been in line as you have the last several weeks, and someone, before I could do it, they let me in front of them. They had a lot more than I had to have a single item in my hand. He turned and looked, I was behind. He said, "Would you go first?" I said, "Really?" Someone's being kind? Yes. Let someone in line in front of you. Of course, there was a long line. I looked back and I said, "I don't want to take the last in line and bring them up because the others might not be so kind." I'll just take the one who's right behind me and let them go in front of me. Now, that's easy to do in the grocery line. It's not so easy when I'm on the freeway and I've been on the off ramp and there's 20 cars in front of me and I'm in line. Somebody drives way past and goes all the way to the front and cuts in. I'm going to do that. Why does he wait like I do? So I make sure my bumper's right there next to me. Now, that's a goal. Let someone in line in front of you. The verse he used was 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It says, "Love is very patient and is kind." Now, I need that. I can make that my resolution. I have opportunity. Be kind. Number 6 is keep a secret. And in this, Brother McKenzie didn't make any comments. He just used the verse. In James chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "For in many things we all offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." Wow. We offend in many things. But if any man offend not in word, he's a perfect man. That's hard to not to offend in word. Especially in our generation today, with so much publication and media, you can hardly say a word without everybody knowing it. And they call you on it. What did you mean by that or this? I know I've seen parents sometimes get their child to get their attention, and then mom or dad will go. They just know that child's going to say something they don't want to be told. Or you ever have someone tell you to bite your tongue? Just means. Put a clothespin on your lips. Wow. Someone told me a secret recently, and they added the phrase, "Brian, I want to tell you a secret, but it's not for publication." Then don't tell me. Or they might add the phrase, "Brian, I want to tell you a secret, but promise not to tell anyone that it was me that told you." Or you go ahead and tell the secret, but just don't tell I'm the one that told you the secret. I heard another poem in a poem form. "If your lips would keep from slips, 5 things observe with care. Of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how and when and where." Be careful. You know the song we sang as youngsters, "Be careful, you know, little eyes what you see, little ears what you hear. Little lips, what you say. Little hands, what you do. Little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So watch your eyes, your ears, your lips, your hands, your feet." Number 7 and 8 go together too. Number 7 is say something nice to someone you like. I can do that. Well, but number 8, the reverse. Say something nice to someone you don't like. Well, the first one, number 7, Ephesians 4, verse 29, kind of goes with number 8 too, but "Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace to the hearers." Oh. Brother McKenzie said in his notes, to encourage someone is to strengthen them. So if we're going to build someone up or say something nice to someone we like, it means we want to lift them up. We want to inspire hope within them. We want to cheer them up. We want to give supporting words. And we have that opportunity all the time. You just look at our bulletin of those in need, prayerfully remember, or those going through struggles or hard times. Certainly they are in need. We just need to open our eyes to see that opportunity and season and say, let me share something with you. Or, you know, is there anything that I can do for you? What do you need? Call me. We're on standby. I don't know unless you ask. But I can't give unless someone receives. So we need to find time or find occasion to say something nice to someone we like. But then there's the reverse. Say something nice to someone you don't like. Let's go to number nine. No. Spirit-led Christians allow the Spirit of God to deal with fleshly inclinations. The fleshly inclination is, I don't want to say something nice to somebody I don't like. I don't like them. But Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Oh, even those I don't like. Galatians 5, verse 6 says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My flesh says, I don't like them. I don't want to say something nice to them. Galatians 5:25, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Oh, so that fleshly inclination is not Spirit-led, Spirit-fed, Spirit-driven. The natural man, that fleshly inclination says, I'm not saying something nice to them. I don't like them, never have. I'm mad at them. I'm not even going to talk to them. Oh yeah, that's the Spirit. But there's people that we don't like that we can still show good manners to. That's a possibility. Doesn't mean that we have to be buddy-buddy, but when our paths cross, I can certainly hold open a door or just say good morning. That'd certainly be nice. I don't want to arouse bitterness between, inflame a situation. Just say something nice, casual. Number nine, smile more and frown less. Someone said it takes 88 muscles to frown and only 16 to smile. All right, now try that. Try to frown. Now, you don't have to count all the muscles you're using to frown. But you got to work at it. Frown. But smile. That doesn't take many muscles to smile. 88 to frown. 16 to smile. Brother McKenzie says, a pleasing disposition will draw others closer to you. Yeah. I'll kind of add something to that. It also makes people wonder what you're up to. When you smile,
yeah.
I'm up to something and you don't know it. I did something you don't know about. Ephesians 4 verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. That just took away half my conversations. The gift I want to bestow on others, my resolution, is to make my speech more loving and gracious and uplifting. The last one is give people your best. The best will be returned to you. Remember the golden rule? That's the verse Brother McKenzie used. Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things, whatever it is, that you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. That's the law and the prophets. So this gift to others is not merely a good idea. It's the law and the prophets. So when we behave badly to others, do we really want them to treat us the same way? The golden rule. You do to others the way that you want them to do to you. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, and I didn't put that one in your notes, but Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, whatsoever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. For there's no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave where you're going. Any nice thing we want to say or do has to be done now. Because we can't do it after we're gone. So give people your best. Give them your best. The last thing I would put, the best gift and resolution you can make is become a Christian. And live it, if you haven't done so already. At the close of a lesson, when we meet for worship like this, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. It's an invitation for you to become a Christian if you have not done so already. There's a simple plan or procedure. Number one, we want you to hear the Word of God. And that's sensible. That's logical. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you've not heard? So Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 33, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden. Learn of me. Learn. Number two, you want to believe the message. You know that God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Believe that. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. So once I've heard that good news message, I'll believe it. Number three, third step would be to repent. And I say that because Jesus did. In Luke chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. And then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did to with Philip in Acts 8. Philip is preaching a Jesus sermon. And the Ethiopian interrupts him and says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip commanded the chariot, stop the chariot. And number five, they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water and Philip went on his way rejoicing. And I always say that salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. So that's the invitation we extend. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement or prayers while we're here to rejoice with you in that decision, we can accomplish that. So let's stand together and sing the song that Des has selected for.